This podcast is about the accounting principles referring to the VC Accounting Course Unit 3. Accounting principles. These are generally accepted rules or guidelines which work to provide greater consistency in the way businesses present their accounting reports. The aim is to improve the quality of information provided to stakeholders. There are five accounting principles you need to be familiar with in Unit 3. Going concern, reporting period, entity, monetary unit, historical cost, conservatism, and consistency. Let's have a look at the going concern principle first. The going concern principle simply assumes that the life of the business is assumed to go on forever. That is, the life of the business is infinite. Of course, stakeholders, that is those people who are interested in the performance of the business, stakeholders cannot wait forever to assess business performance. Hence, we need to slice up this continuous life of the business into reporting periods. And this is the second accounting principle, the reporting period principle. This slices up the continuous life of the business into arbitrary time periods, we call reporting periods, so we can assess profit performance over that period of time, the reporting period, and determine the assets and equities at the end of the reporting period. And that point in time is called balance day. Balance day is the end of the reporting period. Now, reporting periods can be a variety of different lengths of time. Businesses can have a reporting period every week, every month, every quarter. Of course, they'll have at least one for the year for taxation purposes, but they are flexible. Don't think of reporting periods as always being just for 1 year. Different businesses can have different reporting periods according to their particular needs. The entity principle. What does this word entity mean? Entity means existence. You have an entity. I have an entity. A tree has an entity. The desk has an entity. A business has an entity, and the owner of the business has an entity. The accounting entity principle aims to ensure that the performance and financial position of the business, that is the profit and loss statement and the balance sheet, can be measured and reported separately without being contaminated or influenced by the activities of other entities, such as the owner. A good example of the application of the entity principle is not to include the owner's personal assets and liabilities in the balance sheet of the business. We just want to have the business's assets and the business's liabilities. We do not want to contaminate the business's balance sheet with the assets, the personal assets and the personal liabilities of the owner, because we have the application of entity. Keep these two things separate. Now, the entity principle is consistent with the qualitative characteristic of relevance, since data of other entities, such as the owner's assets and liabilities, is irrelevant data for stakeholders when they're assessing the business performance. Further, the qualitative characteristic of reliability would also be compromised, since the reports would be incorrect, that is, contain errors, by including data from other entities. The monetary unit principle. Monetary unit principle. Transactions entered into by a business have to be measured, recorded, and reported using a common unit of measurement, in our case, the Australian dollar. Here's an example. In a particular business, the workers may work together very well. They have a synergy. That's a powerful thing in business, the ability to work together so that the sum of the units is a very powerful thing. So the synergy of the workers in a business may be one of its great strengths. But because this is not measurable in dollar terms, you can't measure synergy, it is excluded from the reports. So everything has to be expressed in terms of the Australian dollar. If it can't be, it's excluded. Of course, information not measured, recorded and reported in Australian dollars would not be reliable anyway, so it would be contrary to one of the qualitative characteristics, reliability. Historical cost principle. Subject to the conservatism principle, which we'll look at in a minute, transactions are recorded and reported at their original historical cost, since this value is verifiable by documentary evidence. I'll say that again. Subject to the conservatism principle, transactions are recorded and reported at their original historical cost, since the value, that is, the historical cost value, is verifiable by documentary evidence. And using historical cost is consistent with the qualitative characteristic of reliability, since the data does not contain estimates and it is not subject to bias or opinion. Conservatism principle. This is a difficult one in Unit 3 because the most common application of it doesn't really occur until Unit 4. However, it's cited as a principle in Unit 3, so let's have a look at it. A good way to explain it is via an example. Assume a business has stock with an historical cost of, say, $4,000, but due to damage, say it's been water damaged or something like that, due to damage, it is estimated that the stock can only be sold for $3,000. So we think that we can only sell the stock for $3,000, which is less than its historical cost. The profit and loss statement will report this estimated loss of $1,000 even before the stock is sold. And the balance sheet will report the stock at $3,000, not the $4,000, that's the historical cost, even though this market value of $3,000 is not yet verifiable and hence is contrary to reliability. So conservatism dictates that it is better for stakeholders to have understated or conservative profit and asset data when assessing a business, if they're given a choice. So conservatism, it tends to reduce the reported profit and reduce the valuation of assets in the balance sheet where that valuation is less than historical cost. Finally, consistency, the consistency principle. To ensure stakeholders can compare performance over time, accounting methods should be used consistently from reporting period to reporting period. The consistency principle matches the qualitative characteristic of comparability. Examples of the consistency principle would be using the same depreciation method over time for a particular non-current asset. For example, using straight line depreciation for furniture, period 1, period 2, period 3. Not changing between FIFO and identified cost for valuing a particular item of stock from period 1 to period 2 to period 3. That is consistently using one of those methods over time. And another example would be maintaining a consistent classification scheme in the reports over time. One example is bad debts. Some businesses report bad debts as a negative revenue item, that is, sales less bad debts. Most businesses report it as a normal expense in the profit and loss statement. Both methods are okay, but whatever method is used, it should be applied consistently over time, so it's easier for stakeholders to compare performance over time.